Hey, everybody, we're back. This is Maggie Rodden. And Batman, Superman, none of them called me while we were on break, but I do have Reverend Ted Pike, who is giving it the good old superheroes try out there, battling almost by himself, really, pretty much, battling the forces that seek to do evil to us. So how are you, Reverend Pike? Glad to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me, Maggie. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad you're here this morning. So we're going to start talking about the CPSA bill, huh, Reverend Pike?
Yeah, you know, I think the perfect place to begin is an excellent statement by Representative Ron Paul, which was made last week. Maybe I could just read a paragraph or
two. Sure, go right ahead.
Yeah, he says, CPSA is essentially an internet monitoring bill that permits both the federal government and private companies to view your private online communications with no judicial oversight, provided, of course, that they do so in the name of cybersecurity. The bill is very broadly written and allows the Department of Homeland Security to obtain large swaths of personal information contained in your emails or other online communication. It also allows emails and private information found online to be used for purposes far beyond any reasonable definition of fighting cyber terrorism. CPSA represents an alarming form of corporatism as it further intertwines government with companies like Google and Facebook. It permits them to hand over your private communications to government officials without a warrant, circumventing well-established federal laws like the Wiretap Act and the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. It also grants them broad immunity from lawsuits for doing so, leaving you without recourse for invasions of privacy. Simply put, CPSA encourages some of our most successful internet companies to act as government spies, sowing distrust of social media and chilling communication in one segment of the world economy where America still leads. How's that for legislation? And what is really astonishing is this is being promoted by Republicans. The Republicans carried it overwhelmingly, voted it, passed it in the House last week.
Well, the only thing it goes to prove, Reverend Pike, is that there isn't any difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. We've been deluding ourselves for decades in thinking that there was a difference. They sing a different song. They're very good at that. However, their actions speak louder than their words, Reverend Pike.
Well, actually, when I was fighting the hate crimes bill for 10 years and we held it back, defeated it five times before it was finally passed, we did count upon the Republicans, especially fighters in the Senate judiciary like Louis Gohmert and Bob Goodlatte and others in the House. But here what's happening is that Republican Mike Rogers is the head of the House Intelligence Committee, and he has put together this bill, and evidently, very largely, out of loyalty. A huge number of Republicans, there was only about 25 Republicans voted against it. The whole House, en masse, the Republicans voted for it, and basically the Democrats voted against it. So here we are in a bizarre position where we are looking to the Democrats in the Senate. It'll soon be introduced in the Senate as our main, probably main source of salvation. Barack Obama has stated that in its present form he will veto it. But I'm not going to put very much confidence in that, because we remember vividly only 2 years ago how he had promised that the Defense Authorization Act, which included the hate bill, he said that he, if it included too much pork on it, he would veto it. But when it came, when the Senate finally approved the hate bill, then he forgot all about it and signed it into law in the Rose Garden. So what he says doesn't he doesn't have a record of credibility.
No, I would agree with you 100% there, Reverend Pike. None whatsoever. So, what do we do here with this bill, Reverend Pike? I mean, the people we call. I think that's what many people have spent the last, few years trying to do is call our congressmen and senators and tell them to wake up and get off the dime. But, they seem to have, their fingers stuck in their ears and they don't want to listen to us.
Well, the bill is now going to be sent to the Senate Judiciary Committee, although it could race forward. And don't diminish the power of calling, especially bombarding the Senate Judiciary Committee. We have seen again and again that it really does make a difference when people make those calls. Those personal calls mean really a very great deal. They stand for at least 1,000 people. They are acknowledged by staffers as the most effective way to let the government know how you're feeling, much more than even faxes or emails. But let me just give folks the toll-free number to the Senate Judiciary Committee. What we have to do is call and just say, please don't vote for CISPA. And the number on the Senate bill of CISPA will be S-2105, S-2105 in the Senate. And the toll-free number to the Senate Judiciary or to any of the two senators from your state is 1-866-220-0044. Again, that's 1-866-220-0044, and I have called that number and it works. And what we want to do, when you're calling, just you don't have to say too much. Just please don't vote for the CISPA bill. Everybody knows what it is. But demand hearings. Demand hearings in the Senate Judiciary Committee immediately, because the hearing process is very important for a number of reasons. Number one, it postpones fast-tracking legislation. You have to set a date for the hearing. So that usually sets things back a week. And then when the hearing is convened, it gives opportunities for our people there in the Senate Judiciary Committee to propose amendments, to argue, to slow things down. Now, unlike the previous SOPA bill, which had a tremendous momentum against it, they are moving this bill through so fast that the public very largely hasn't caught up with it. And certainly our people in the alternative right seem quite oblivious of it. And one of the confusing factors is it's promoted by Republicans. So immediately people their instincts are jammed.
Your guard is down.
Yeah, the guard is down. If it were Democrats and left-wingers, then they'd be a big howl. But here we have the majority of Republicans who are supposed to stand for Christian and conservative and capitalist values behind this bill. And obviously, you can see the reasoning of Mike Rogers. He's the head of the House Intelligence Committee. And it's a dream for government, especially when we're in some kind of a quote-unquote war on terror right now. If you're in a war, the government wants to get as many members of the private segment contributing information, being their watchdogs on the street corners of America. That's the way it was in the First World War, Second World War, and so on. And now we want to have the cybersecurity giants being our, as Paul says, our spies. So government doesn't have to waste a lot of time doing its own investigation of the Internet. It'll have the experts there who are monitoring all this information constantly, feeding it private information. Your emails, your statements, your political opinions will be going directly to the National Security Agency, to Lieberman's Department of Homeland Security Committee in the Senate, and so on, the Department of Homeland Security. They'll all be receiving confidential information about what you think about the government or Israel or war with Iran or anything, and you will have no idea that you are being reported on to the government.
You know, things are just so bizarre in this country anymore, Reverend Pike. It just is so mind-blowing to think that this is supposed to be the United States of America we're living in.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it might be helpful if I read you a few quotes here. There really are quite a few organizations, but they are not, they're not really on the right. Let me just give you some of these. Mostly, you know, the ACLU is coming out very strongly against this. Tim Berners-Lee, who is the inventor of the World Wide Web, he expressed opposition to this bill, saying, quote, "It is threatening the rights of people in America and effectively rights everywhere, because what happens in America tends to affect people all over the world. Even though the SOPA and PIPA acts were stopped by huge public outcry, it's staggering how quickly the U.S. government has come back with a new, different threat to the rights of its citizens."
They keep going over and over and over again. I hear the cue music, Reverend Pike. We've got a three-minute break coming up. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest this morning. Truthtellers.org or .com, Reverend Pike?
.org.
.org is his website. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest this morning for the first hour. Truthtellers.org is his website where you can find all kinds of information. And you're a prolific writer, putting out information several times a week, Reverend Pike, on things people really need to know. So you were mentioning, when we went to break, you were mentioning some of the groups that ironically are actually opposed to this and fighting it, which you would not think, such as the ACLU and others. I know I was watching something last week, and this was from Democracy Now!, and there were two people that were on this program that they were talking to. One was an internet guru kind of individual, and he's come in and out of the country, and 14 times they had stopped him. They took his cell phone from him. But because of, national security letters or something like that, he wasn't allowed, and that was something that came into play when the Patriot Act was passed, that he wasn't allowed to mention that he had been, that they took his cell phone and wouldn't give it back, and a lot of other things. His comment to the woman who was questioning him, he said, "Well, if we were still living in America and this was a free country, I'd be able to tell you what happened to my cell phone." And the woman that was also interviewed on this program, Democracy Now!, was talking about, she was a documentary filmmaker, and she is traveling in and out of the country. I think she was making a film about Afghanistan or one of those Middle Eastern nations. And she had been stopped 40 different times.
Oh, my.
And they take her, you know, and do the whole pat-down thing, the whole nine yards, because she's making a controversial documentary that I guess obviously must be in opposition to whatever position it is that, you know, the government holds for whatever it is she's doing the documentary film on. But
let me just read you a statement by the ACLU, just a few lines. It says, "The Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act," that's CISPA, "would create a cybersecurity exception to all privacy laws and allow companies to share the private and personal data they hold on their American customers with the government for cybersecurity purposes. Beyond the potential for massive data collection authorization, the bill would provide no meaningful oversight of or accountability for the use of these new information sharing authorities." There's something like 46 groups now who are marshaling. They're kind of late, and fortunately the bill has not been introduced into the Senate. But what I'm trying to do, quite frankly, is get on the radio in the next couple of weeks and broadcast this, just make this common knowledge in the alternative right. Even more than writing, it seems like people need to be kind of accosted on the airwaves with the threat of this, and shocked into action, get those phone calls going in. But there's something like 46 groups, many of them civil liberties groups that are definitely not Christian or conservative or on the right. One of them is the Constitution Project, which states, although we appreciate the Intelligence Committee's efforts to improve the bill and willingness to engage in a dialogue with privacy advocates, the changes in its most current draft do not come close to addressing the civil liberties threats posed by the bill. And some of the proposals would actually make CISPA worse. You see, what's going on here is there's the dynamic here that Mike Rogers and the intelligence faction of the government, they have to get information without your permission. They cannot send you a notice that they have stolen your statements off of the internet and they have filed it with the NSA. That's all very cumbersome and so on. They have to do it in secret. So there's an intrinsic violation of the privacy of the American people on the internet. And these civil liberties groups are badgering them, saying we want more and more guarantees that people's privacy will not be inviolated. But the whole bill is dedicated very simply to invading our privacy. If you read the bill, it's very simple language. That's exactly what they're doing, justifying it all in the name of fighting terrorism. And so there's a limit. There's a limit to how much that Mike Rogers and his intelligence people can go in placating the objections of free speech and privacy advocates, because the bill is basically a government intrusion working with very large corporations, internet corporations, many of whom are ADL-friendly, pro-Zionist, and so on, to invade our privacy. And basically, it's the end of privacy on the internet, even perhaps freedom on the internet.
You know, it really is just startling when you think about all of these different things that are going on, Reverend Pike. And it's funny because it's like the enemy of my enemy becomes my friend when you think about, you know what I mean, with the different groups that we align for one thing and then we're at odds for another. And I hear the cue music, Reverend Pike. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't change that dial. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest this morning. Truthtellers.org is his website. He and I will be back in 3 minutes. My name is Maggie Rodden. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest this morning. Truthtellers.org is his website, and we're talking about the CISPA bill. What CISPA stand for again, Reverend Pike? I don't remember what it's an acronym for.
Well, the title of the bill is the Federal Information Security Amendment Act. It's actually an amendment to the National Security Act of 1947, which of course did not consider issues of cybersecurity. It's an attempt to ostensibly to update that act and make it truly protective of internet security in America today.
Hmm. You know, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Really, we can be very baffled by these things that are continually being thrown at us. They just come literally down the pipeline, out of the woodwork, into Congress. We think, where's all this stuff coming from? Where's the Constitution? Where are the Republicans who are supposed to be guarding our freedoms and so on? But last night I just jotted down a few notes here about in the coming article on this. Could I just read some paragraphs here about what I think is behind all this?
Sure you can. Go right ahead.
Okay, here's some of my rough notes. Most of the world would be happy to enjoy a free internet forever, except for one group, the Zionists. Zionists and Jewish supremacists, particularly the Anti-Defamation League, are very unhappy that the Internet allows the whole world to know what Jewish supremacists wish would remain secret. This includes the anti-Gentile and anti-Christian racist teachings of the Talmud. It includes Jewish control of the money system and world governments, Jewish control of mass media and Congress, Jewish authorization of hate laws, and on and on. Zionists particularly resent the power of the Internet to broadcast worldwide the latest injustice or even atrocities it commits against the Palestinians. Zionism gnashes its teeth that many hundred, if not thousands, of hate sites, so-called hate sites, have proliferated on the information superhighway, shouting that Israel is a racist apartheid state, a sham democracy with no real regard for Palestinian human and territorial rights. It's not hard to understand, ever since the Internet was invented, why top priority of Israel's PR representative, the ADL, has been to try to end such free speech on the Internet, attempting to convince governments that the Internet can be just as free without such hate speech. ADL has had a very difficult time accomplishing censorship of the Internet worldwide. The proliferation of ever more Internet-like tools of communication make it even harder. In 2004, ADL created the International Network Against Cyber Hate, part of its newly formed 56-nation European hate crimes Gestapo called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Its mission was to work with governments worldwide in a variety of ways to educate against or outlaw or prevent reception of hate sites through the Internet. And ADL and the International Network Against Cyber Hate have a long list of all the things they've tried, including legal remedies and actually preventing communications coming into countries, making them a hate crime, on and on and on. Nothing has really worked, and to a very large degree, the Internet remains free worldwide, except for a few countries. Certainly remains free in most Western countries. In addition, Israel has launched, along with ADL, a massive program of organizing Jews in the Western world, literally thousands of Jews, to monitor the Internet, and they are provided little electronic boxes. When they find something like a poll being projected on the Internet saying, do you favor Israel's way they've responded to the tearing down houses in East Jerusalem this week? How do you respond? Immediately, all these so-called cyber warriors rally. They punch their buttons and they get into instant communication with each other. They completely swamp that poll, skewing the poll and giving the impression that everybody is in favor of Israel's right to tear down the houses. And they do that night and day. These cyber warriors are monitoring these hate sites, so-called hate sites. They are sabotaging them, doing everything they can to make the Internet not free anymore. But even that has not slowed down the speed and the progress and the volume of truth that goes out on the information superhighway. And certainly we at truthtellers.org, we've been knocked out a few times by these cyber warriors and got our websites back up. It's all very frustrating to the ADL. And this is a background I'm providing here from these ad hoc notes to inform people that this kind of an action by Mike Rogers and these repeated assaults, which, as the inventor of the Internet says, are astonishing in their rapidity. There's a source. These are coming somewhere, and they cannot be understood without at least a 10 or 15 year massive effort, concerted effort by the Zionists to find some way to control the Internet, to pervade it with their own spies like this, to dilute it down, to take it away from the people. And these huge companies like Verizon with Ivan Seidenberg, he's a strong promoter of CISPA, and he is a rank liberal. He attends Jewish functions right along with Edgar Bronfman and Sumner Redstone and so on. They're part of the Zionist internationalist clique. The Time Warner cable is behind this. Facebook is back. All of these big Jewish internet organizations are behind this, and we don't have to look very far for the fact that the ADL will be involved right there in the middle in this kind of corruption. They've already, ADL legislation has already wanted to set up a federal data bank, internet data bank, receiving information, calls, all this kind of thing on possible cybersecurity threats. So this is the wrong direction to go. This is a direction, as Ron Paul is warning, is going to mesh industry, the internet industry, which I'm saying includes many, many top-level people who are just as loyal to Israel as they are to America, if they are loyal to America, will involve them in sensitive spying, sensitive information, which they now have privilege to gather from the American public. And I just encourage people again, actually at truthtellers.org we have in my latest article, it's right up there on the top right, my latest article about this, we have the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. We have their names there, the Republicans and the Democrats. We also have a list of all the senators in the Senate, all 100 of them. Call immediately. Get on the phone. Call especially the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, demanding that we have hearings and the CISPA bill is not fast-forwarded directly to the Senate.
Well, you know, I was thinking as you were talking, Reverend Pike, about Father Coughlin, the Catholic priest who had a radio show back in the late 30s, and he was on just an hour and a half or so every week, I guess Sunday afternoons, and at one point he had 30 million listeners a week, they estimated, that he had had. And one of the things he was talking about, of course, he was labeled an anti-Semite, which is, you know, typical of anybody who questions anything that Jewish people are doing, or, you know, if you question anything black people are doing, you're a racist, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're a xenophobe, you're a homophobe, you're whatever. You know, the same old crap they say all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But Father Coughlin, have you ever listened to any of the shows that he broadcasts? Because they are available online to...
I actually haven't. I'm certainly very familiar with him.
Okay. Well, one of the things that he was talking about, and this was a broadcast done in 1938, he was talking about the Bolshevik Revolution. And he was talking about how silent Jewish people were on what their fellow Jews were doing and the numbers that were killed by the Jewish-led Trotsky et al. And others, Jewish-led Bolshevik Revolution. And he said, and he quoted a number of 25 million between, I don't know, I think it was 1917 or 1919 and 1938. And he said, you know, every group has spent time at the pillar of persecution throughout the history of the world. And he said, and we don't want anybody to be persecuted. He said, but you need to have a loyalty. And he was speaking to Jewish people. You needed to have a loyalty to America first. And you needed to stand up and speak out against what was being done by your own people. It's not acceptable to sit silent and say, well, they're one of our tribe. We don't want to blow them in. We don't want to be the rat. We'll kind of just let it slide because they're one of us, as opposed to being loyal to the citizenry of the nation, no matter who they were, Gentile, atheist, whatever, you know, Muslim, the few that were around in this nation then. He spoke out about that, and he said, your loyalty begins with us first. It doesn't begin with the tribe. It begins with your being loyal to truth.
Yes.
And it was rather interesting to me to listen to him. And, of course, now that's 1938. How many years ago is it? 60, 70, 74 years ago. And here we are. Those same labels are put on people who speak out, who question. Same labels, same tactics. It's like we're in 1938, really, in a sense. You know what I mean? Nothing's changed, Reverend Pike.
Well, the ADL says, oh, we're very much in favor of every kind of free speech, but we're not in favor of people shouting fire in a crowded theater, and we're also not in favor of hate speech. Hate speech should be outside of the protections of the First Amendment, and that has an appeal to a lot of people. Well, why do we need homophobic hate speech? Why do we need anti-Semitism? And they say, well, we can jettison those forms of what used to be considered free speech and consider them hate speech now, and we can talk about things which are more generally agreed upon. In other words, more politically correct. But the nature of humanity is that man has a tendency to go far astray and to wander from the truth. And unless there is the full potentiality of the full extent of speech available on the Internet, then very, very quickly half-truths proliferate. And a half-truth is not a good thing, because a half-truth represents itself as the whole truth and is therefore a lie, is a distortion. And so all of this leads in a very Orwellian dimension and direction. What we need to do, of course, is a fight now, absolutely fight. It's an astonishing thing that it passed in the House, that this legislation is so blatant. It's such a blatant power grab, not only by Mike Rogers and the kind of military-industrial complex of the government wanting to have complete control of the Internet, but it's also a power grab by those hidden forces behind the scenes who have this long track record of working night and day trying to figure out how to restrict and invade the Internet. And that, of course, is the Zionists and the ADL. And we know that there are, that many of these members of Congress have made their peace with these dark forces, and Republicans, Democrats, whatever the label is, we know that they are basically not their own masters.
Well, you know, one of the things that this Father Coughlin had mentioned was about how the media, and what newspapers and radio then, I guess, how the media was so silent on what was really happening in Europe, and of course because the media was controlled back then and had been controlled and for a long time at that point in 1938. So the American people, we have been fed a laundry list of lies for a very long time here in this nation, which is one of the reasons why it's so difficult, I believe, Reverend Pike, to be able to get through to people. Because what you're telling them is absolutely foreign. They never heard it before. They know nothing of it. And if you were if what you're saying is fact, why isn't it on the 6 o'clock news?
Yeah. Back in 1938, in fact, from 1918 until that time, there was no internet which allowed people in Russia to communicate the massive slaughter that was going on. And what the Israelis have always wanted to do and have done very successfully, even in 1948, in 1948 they slaughtered several hundred sleeping Palestinians at Deir Yassin, and then they drove out 800,000 into concentration camps out of their homes and businesses and orchards and so on. And the world basically didn't have a clue what was going on, because the media of communication at that time, CBS, NBC, ABC, were all Jewish controlled, and as in Russia, they cooperated to put a blanket of censorship over that very great reality in that part of the world. And it's amazing how much truth can, even with the Internet, how much truth and reality an atrocity can be hidden by governments. But the Internet, Twitter, and all this other technology has made it possible now for captive peoples, oppressed peoples, particularly the Palestinians, to get the word out about what is going on. And then if they have advocacy groups in the free world, which doesn't include Israel, then other people can begin to sound the alarm. And so Israel, ADL, Jewish supremacism has a vested interest in taking away free speech.
Yeah. Hang on, Reverend Pike. We're going to break 3 minutes. We'll be back. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest this morning. Truthtellers.org is his website. Please go there. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest for a few more minutes. And I just wanted to throw something in, Reverend Pike. You know, I don't hate anybody. It's very difficult to hate, truly, it is. But I have a real problem with people who want to deny me the right to have free thought, free speech, a free exchange of ideas, to think the way I want to think. I have a real problem with that. I have a problem, you know, they spend a lot of time labeling people as a tactic to shut us up. I have a problem with this hate crimes bill that elevates certain groups over another. I'm for equality, equal justice, not special privilege or special treatment for anybody. I'm certainly more than willing to bend over and give a helping hand to anyone. I don't hate black people. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate Muslims. I don't hate anybody. But I have a real problem with those in those groups who think that for some reason they should have special privileges and that other people should be denied what they think that they deserve. It's just not right. And I'm about fairness. Simple.
Absolutely.
Fairness.
The problem with allowing evil people to take control is that eventually those evil people will fulfill their murderous intentions. And that's what happened in Russia in 1918. The provisional government came into control under Kerensky in 1917, and they thought, oh, this is just going to be a transition, a new democracy. Let's see what works out. That went directly into Bolshevism. Bolshevism went directly into massive purges and then massive killing of millions of people. And that's where we're headed today. If we allow these terrible forces to have special privileges, special rights, especially those to spy on us, which this bill gives, and to take away our privacy and our freedom. I just want to encourage everybody to make those calls, especially to the Senate Judiciary Committee. The number, again, is 866-220-0044. That's 866-220-0044. The bill is called CISPA. It actually stands for the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act. Let your own senators, of course, know that you expect them to vote against it. But especially right now, we need to demand, when you call the members of the Senate Judiciary, and those names are available at truthtellers.org at the end of my latest article, tell them, demand them, we need the hearings now. We need to slow this thing down, get some amendments and argumentation going on there before this bill proceeds.
Before I let you go, Reverend Pike, we've got a caller, and I'm going to assume he wants to talk to you. So let's grab George in Texas quickly. George, go right ahead, please.
How you doing, Reverend? How you doing? I keep forgetting your name. But anyway, you know, talk about the Jewish Bolshevik Revolution. You know what the thing is? I went down to Occupy Wall Street. You got people from We Are Change going, we have the communists and everybody. We're all talking and all that stuff. And you know the thing is, as far as these communist Bolsheviks, Jewish Bolsheviks, I don't want them having a seat at the table. Because these people, you'll use our resources to stab us in the back like they did in 1917. And you know the thing is, in Russia, I mean, I hear Jewish people, some of the Zionists, and they go, Russia is a racist nation because they hate Jewish people. And that's not true. They are against the Zionists and the oligarchs that dominated that country for many decades, running the Czechist and all that. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be going to my son to the Holocaust Museum, because they got a Holocaust Museum. And I
hang on, George, because we're going to hit a quick 60-second break. Hang on. Reverend Pike, can you stay on just a couple more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Hang on, George. I'll let you finish when we come back.